Amen. Long as I got King Jesus. Can we give God some praise again? Amen. What a glorious day in the Lord indeed. Let's look to the Lord. That's the message, Lord. No matter what else is going on, as long as I got King Jesus, and as long as he has us, we know that everything is going to be all right. He's a burden bearer. He's a life giver. He's a soul savior. He is the Prince of Peace, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. We thank you, God, for your presence here. For without you, we can do nothing. Forgive us of our sins and speak a word and nourish our souls through your word once again. We need a word from you. Have your way, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some more praise. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles or you can look on the screen, we are continuing our study of the letter to the Galatians in the third chapter. And this week we're going to look at Galatians 3:10, and I'll be reading all the way through verse 25. Please stand in reverence to the word of God. And I'll be reading from the NIV version, Galatians 3, starting at verse 10. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith, we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say "and to his seeds," meaning many people, but "and to your seed," meaning one person who is Christ. What I mean is this: the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God, thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God, in his grace, gave it to Abraham through a promise. Why then was the law given at all? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. The mediator, however, implies more than one party, but God is one. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin, that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. The faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. You may be seated. Thank God. Thank God. Charlotte Elliott was an invalid in the 1800s, and she was born into a family of believers. Her brother and uncles were clergymen, and they were gathering resources and gifts and talent to build a school for children of clergy where they could go of course. And during this great energy around this missionary act, around this Christian act, Charlotte began to feel as an invalid that she was useless with God. And around all of the excitement of it all, she felt like, what is my purpose in life? I can't get out of my weakness. I can't get out of this condition that I am. I am stuck and I am useless before God. And in the middle of the night, while she struggled to have meaning, while she struggled to get out of her condition, she wrote these words, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul one dark spot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come." We are in the spiritual condition of Charlotte Elliott. We are invalids. We are weak spiritually to break the power of sin. And what Paul has been teaching us through Galatians, that we don't have to worry, we don't have to fret. We just need to come just as we are. Because the same blood that saved Charlotte, the same blood that saved me is available to everyone when we realize that the same weakness that she felt in her body, all of us have that same weakness in us spiritually. To break, Paul is saying, so we've been studying Galatians, which is about freedom. And Paul is saying to the Galatians, when he arrived here, he was dealing with two things to bring everybody up to speed. He was dealing with their degradation of his apostleship. In other words, they didn't accept him as an apostle. And then he was dealing with their preaching a different gospel. And that gospel was, Paul said in Galatians 1, a different gospel, because the Galatians, the Jewish people in Galatia, were saying to them that not only did they need Jesus, but they also needed to follow the Judaic laws, the ceremonial laws. In other words, they need to accept Jesus and become a Jew, be circumcised. And Paul says to them and to us, that's a different gospel. Because the only thing that will save you and I from our sins is who? Jesus Christ. And so today we talked about last week that we have to keep the cross front and center, the crucified Christ. That's what we learned last week. Today he starts talking about, again, three things that we need to understand about why it is fallible to try to reach God through some moral code, some ritual. We can never do it, because the law required that we come into right relationship with God through living perfectly. That's the first thing you need to understand today, is that the first problem with following a moral code and becoming legalistic is that it requires what we can never be, and that is perfect. Somebody say, I'm not perfect. In verse 10, it says, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything You need to underline that in your Bible, written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteousness will live by faith. And so, in other words, that you can't ever achieve the high moral standards of the law because nobody gets it right all the time. We really will never worship God like we ought to. We'll never really appreciate grace like we ought to if we don't understand that God requires our perfect obedience to his law. And there's no one that I have ever met wearing a robe, no matter how much you can do a happy dance or shout in tongues, there is nobody I've ever met that's got it right all the time. Including yours truly. As I began to even think about preaching this message, crazy thoughts were going through my head, Brother Lucas. Last night, I was like, where'd that come from? I know I'm not alone. You could be trying to get it right, and crazy thoughts will come into your head. And God requires absolute perfection. And so we don't need to feel like Charlotte Elliott that I'm weak and I'm broken and God requires this high moral standard, so I must just give up. What we need to do is give in, because you're never going to be perfect, but thank God. The next point is, not only does the law require perfection, but Paul says that we can have faith in a person who got it right for us. So in Galatians, after verse 10 and 11, we go down to 13, and this is the thank God. Christ, somebody say Christ. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that's us, through Christ Jesus, so that by faith, somebody say by faith, we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Turn to Romans 5:21. Romans, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And Janet will get that on the screen as well. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him, that's Jesus Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us. Somebody say for us. Thank God. So that in him, somebody say in him, amen, we might become the righteousness of God. Everything that belonged on us was put on him, and he was without sin. And so we need to understand and really get a happy dance, because you can't do it on your own. You will never be righteous in the flesh, but thank God for the person of Jesus Christ. Because we can only be righteous through him. This is a message of humility. Because really, we want to earn our way into salvation. We want to earn the right for us to be pleased by God, because it's a pride thing. But let me just really get you straight this morning. You will never be good enough to get the glory. But thank God for Jesus Christ, because he has done what we needed done. In other words, he is the righteousness of God. And when you have faith in him, you get in. I hope somebody's understanding this. We can become so legalistic. I don't care if you don't wear makeup like some religions. denomination. I don't care if you don't dance. And I, by the way, I went to a thing and I learned some line dancing steps yesterday. And some folk may have thought that that wasn't too spiritual for me. But it was a whole lot of fun. We have to learn. This book of Galatians is about freedom in Christ. Don't let this world bind you up. It's not all about your outward appearance. It's not about looking churchy. It's not about knowing the church lingo. That's what the Jewish folk were trying to do. They were trying to make religion, not relationship, the outward stuff, the reason why you get in. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with having a changed heart and putting your faith in Jesus Christ. So when we think about Galatians and being set free, we need to understand that God requires perfection. And you're not perfect. But the good news is that there is a person named Jesus Christ who is. And Paul is saying, you better put all of your money, you better put all of your faith in him alone. And not only do I need you to understand that there is a perfection required by God, and thanks be to God, there is a person who has met that requirement. It's Jesus Christ. We need to understand the promise. In verse 15, Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to him, his seed." That's singular. You got to understand that. It's not to his seeds, to his seed. Scripture does not say "and to seeds," meaning many people, but "to your seed," meaning one person who is Christ. What I mean is this: the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. What Paul is saying is that God had a covenant and made a promise to Abraham, not because he was willing to sacrifice Isaac, not because he left his home folk and went to a place not knowing, but he made a promise that you will be a blessing to all nations through your seed, meaning Christ who is to come. One scholar looked at the law as an addendum to the promise. So why do we need the law? Scholars believe if you want to figure out, okay, God, I'm saved through faith in the promise, Jesus Christ. So what is the purpose of the law? And scholars believe there are three, and there are many things that I can think about. But one thing that we need the law because the law serves as a mirror to show us our sin. The law is our mirror. If you look at the high standards of God, thou shalt not lie. Raise your hand if you've never lied. I'm getting ready to catch a liar right now. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Who on their job never made a copy? Never stole a pen? Never made a call? Come on, somebody. We're sinners. Somebody say we're sinners. If that hurts somebody to say you're a sinner, you really need to go down on your knees. Because we're all sinners. And the law, with its high standards of the holiness of God, ought to realize how broken we are. I was watching, I like the History Channel, and I was watching a documentary on Mark Twain, whose house was in Hartford. You know, it's still in Hartford. But he had a fascinating life. He traveled the globe. And he was on the speaker's circuit making a whole lot of money, even in the 1800s, but he had lost his children. He finally lost his wife. But he was a truth teller. He became kind of disillusioned in faith because he felt like God had left him and he didn't understand all the tragedies in life. And one of the things, even though he came from Missouri and his uncles and families had slaves, he evolved where he saw the inhumanity of slavery. And he traveled to South Africa where they were treating Africanas very bad, the indigenous people very bad, and he talked to colonials and colonialists who were conquerors around the world, and even though they were talking to people who were of the native land as though they were savage, he said this thing that stuck in my craw. He says that the irony is the slaveholders and the colonialists are more savage than the savages. Because of the brutality of how they were treating humanity. So you got to understand, you may have be in a high class status. Maybe you're in a gated community. Maybe your pedigree is Harvard and Yale. I don't care what it is. You are a sinner. And the quicker we get this thing, we can begin to treat our neighbors as ourselves. You know better than anybody else. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a sinner. You really need to understand that the law was a mirror. The other thing that you need to understand, not only was the law a mirror to show us the ugliness that's in our hearts, that's everybody. It also served as a check on evil. In other words, when you saw thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, some people would have some pause not to do what God said don't do. If we had no standard, those who want to get rid of a religion and the church, Lord have mercy. If God left us to ourselves without a standard, those of us who are trying to pull back and get it right would just say, who cares? So the law served as a mirror to the holiness of God and sinfulness of man. The law also showed as a check on evil. And then it serves as a barometer to what pleases God. It teaches us God wants us to be truth tellers. It teaches us God wants us not to steal. It teaches us that God is pleased when we don't covet our neighbor's possession. It teaches us not to murder. So in the law, we get a sense of what pleases God. And then Lord have mercy. John 1:14 says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then Jesus comes and fulfills the law and lives up to it perfectly. And now we got the incarnate word showing us that through the Holy Spirit, we can live a righteous life by faith. So what am I trying to get y'all to see this morning before we bring it to a close early? I want you to see, first of all, that God requires perfection and none of us will ever be perfect. Secondly, I want you to see that there was a person named Jesus who became sin for us because we were cursed because everyone who fell short of the law was condemned to death. But Jesus, all God's righteous requirements were met in Jesus. He became what the theologians say, a propitiation, an appeasement for our sins. And lastly, we need to understand the promise. The promise is in Jesus Christ. The promise is that he gave Abraham 430 years before the law, that just like Abraham, who believed the promises of God, and it was accredited unto him for righteousness, we become Abraham's children when we accept God's righteous expectations and standard through our faith in Jesus Christ. We become children of Abraham. And I just want to say thank God for what he has done. I want to say thank God for saving me. I can't speak for anybody else, but without him, I can do nothing. And as much as I pray, as much as I study, I still, Minister Newton, don't get it right. But I am grateful. Somebody say, I'm grateful. That Jesus got it right for me. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his loving kindness. Just, come on, Moriah, just as I am, we're going to sing that right now without one plea. But thy blood was shed for me, that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Before I even open up the altar call, I want those who are struggling to just accept God's acceptance of you because of whatever you're dealing with. All of us got our stuff, whatever your stuff is, that has led you to believe God does not love you, God cannot save you, God has abandoned you. Bring it to the altar. We're going to have an altar call. Come on, deacons who are going to pray. We're going to have an altar call before we open up the doors of the church. Whatever it is that you're wrestling with, I want you to come just as you are. God loves you. He died for that thing you're struggling with. He died because he knew that you were like an invalid, weak in your sin. Come to the altar. Maybe you're cursing too much. Maybe you are hooked on pornography. Maybe you got a drug addiction. Maybe you are just downright selfish. Maybe you are, I hate to say it, like our president, just a pathological liar. Whatever your issue is, come to the altar just as you are. As we sing hymn number 167, we're going to sing one verse before we pray. And I want you to pray and believe and hope that you've been set free. And whatever that thing is, if you sincerely give it to God, I want you to know God has delivered you. If you'll just trust him today. Let's sing verse number one, just as I am, without one plea.
Just as I am. By that thy blood was shed for me, and that thy
just as I am, waiting, not
just
ask God to forgive you.
In prayer. Lord God, we thank you for today. We thank you for having allowed us to just be here today, Lord.
Yes, God.
We know you didn't have to let us come out, but we came out today only because you gave us grace.
Yeah.
And God, we ask that you would let whatever is going on in our lives, because we all have some issues. But we know that you can heal any issue that we have. And all we have to do is come to you in prayer, and you will forgive us for our sins. We know that we are not perfect, Lord, but we are struggling, trying to get to that goal. So we thank you, God. We thank you for everything that you do. We ask that you would continue to send the messages to our pastor, Lord. Continue to bless and keep him. Watch over each person at this altar today, Lord. I don't know all of their issues, but I ask you, God, that you would please, whatever they're asking for, that it will be granted.
Yes, God.
We know that you are a healer.
You're a healer, God.
We know that you can solve problems in people's homes.
Yes, God.
We know that you can get rid of addictions.
Yes, God.
All we have to do is ask, and you will deliver us from these things, God. So we say hallelujah today, because you are an awesome God. You are a wonderful God. We thank you for all of those. We thank you for the ones that are sick, because we know you're going to bring them out of
it,
Lord. We know this. We ask that you watch over our children, Lord. All of the children, wherever they may be. Some may be living in homes where they're being abused. But we know you can take them out of there, Lord, or you can heal that home. We have people who are having issues in their marriage, Lord. And we ask that you would please bring them back together, God, as one. Because when you take that oath, you took it for better or for worse.
Yes, God.
So we know when the worst comes in, all you have to do is ask God to bring in the good, and he'll do it. Lord, I just ask that you would continue to watch over this neighborhood, watch over the ministries that are here, and continue to let us grow. We thank you. We honor you, God. We bless your holy name today, God, because you are truly, truly an awesome God.
Yes, God.
Thank you in the name of Jesus. God. Amen.
Ryan and